Good evening. We begin our service today with the opening prayer, and please note that all the hymn stanzas, the first and the second one, are in the service bulletin, and the numbers on the hymn board, they'll be announced as we go along. We'll only be singing selected stanzas of each of the hymns, and those will be announced as we proceed through the service. Let us open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter your presence on this Maundy Thursday evening, bless our meditation upon your Son's passion. May we be led to appreciate with even greater awe the sacrifices he made for us, to confess with sincerity our sins against you and our fellow men, to rejoice in your forgiveness and your means of grace in the gospel and the sacraments, and to dedicate our lives to honoring your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Our service tonight will consist mainly of scripture lessons, and these lessons are drawn from the passion of Jesus stretching from the time when he was anointed by Mary at Bethany to his entrance with his disciples into the upper room where he observed with them the Last Supper and instituted the Lord's Supper for us. And at that point in the service, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper at that time. And then the service will continue on with the readings of Jesus in the upper room with his disciples that night until he finally went with his disciples out to Gethsemane later that evening. Begin with the first of the readings, the plot to kill and arrest Jesus. And the ruling priests, the elders of the people, and the Bible scholars met in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. They were looking for some treacherous way to arrest Jesus and kill him. They were afraid of the people, so they said, "Not in a festival crowd, or there may be a riot among the people." 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. He went into the home of Simon the leper, and there a dinner was prepared for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those eating with him. Then Mary took a pint of perfume, real nard and very expensive, in an alabaster jar, and she came to him while he was lying at the table, broke the jar, and poured the perfume on Jesus' head and feet, and dried his feet with her hair. The fragrance of the perfume filled the house. The disciples saw it and didn't like it. Some who were there felt annoyed and said to one another, "Why was the perfume wasted like this?" And they were grumbling at her. Judas, the man from Kerioth, one of his disciples who was going to betray him, asked, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and used to steal what was put in the money box he carried. Knowing what was going on, Jesus said to them, "Let her alone. Why should you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you always have with you, and you can help them whenever you want to. but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She came ahead of time to pour this perfume on my body to prepare me for my burial. I tell you, where the good news is preached in the whole world, certainly what she has done will also be told in memory of her. The devil went into Judas, called the man from Kerioth, one of the 12. He went to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus to them. "What will you give me?" he asked. "I will betray him to you." They were delighted to hear it. They agreed to give him some money, and they weighed out 30 shekels of silver for him. He promised to do it. And so from then on, he was looking for a chance to betray him when he was away from the crowd. We sing the stanza one of hymn 421.
Then came the first of the Passover days of bread without yeast, when the Passover lamb had to be killed, and the disciples came to Jesus. He sent two of his disciples, Peter and John, saying, "Go, get the Passover ready for us to eat." His disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and get things ready for you to eat the Passover?" "Go into the city," he told them, "and you will meet a man carrying a jar of water. Follow him into the house he enters and tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. Where is my room in which I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Get the things ready for us there." The disciples did as Jesus directed them. They left, went into the city, and found everything as he had told them, and so they got the Passover ready. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. He had loved his own who were in the world, and now he loved them to the end. Jesus knew the Father put everything in his hands, and he had come from God and was going back to God. When the hour had come, he came there with the 12 apostles and lay down for the supper. "I have very much longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer," he said to them. "I tell you, I will not eat it again till it comes true in God's kingdom." It was during the supper. The devil had already put the idea of betraying Jesus in the mind of Judas, the son of Simon from Kerioth. Then the disciples started to quarrel among themselves as to which of them was considered the greatest. So Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his outer garment, took a towel, and tied it around him. Then he poured water into a basin and started to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel that was tied around him. And so he came to Simon Peter. "Lord," Peter asked him, "are you going to wash my feet?" "You don't know now what I'm doing," Jesus answered him, "but later you will understand." "No," Peter told him, "you'll never wash my feet." "If I don't wash you," Jesus answered him, "you have no share in me." "Lord," Simon Peter told him, "not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Anyone who has bathed needs only to have his feet washed," Jesus told him. "He's clean all over. You're clean, but not all of you." He knew who was betraying him. That's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his garment, he lay down again. "Do you know what I've done to you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because I am that. Now if I, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you too should wash one another's feet. I've given you an example so that you will do as I did to you. Surely I tell you, a slave is no greater than his master. And if you are sent, you're no greater than he who sent you. If you know this, you're happy if you do it. The kings of the nations lord it over them," he told them, "and their rulers call themselves benefactors. With you, it's different. The greatest among you should become like the youngest, and one who leads should be like one who serves. Who is greater, the one who lies down to eat or the one who serves? Isn't it the one who lies down to eat? But I am among you as one who serves. You have stood by me in the troubles that have tested me. As my Father has appointed me to be king, so I appoint you to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and to sit on thrones, and to rule the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm not talking about all of you. I know whom I've chosen. But what the Bible says has to come true. He who eats my bread kicks me. From now on, I'm telling you these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you believe I am the one. Let me assure you, if you receive anyone I send, you receive me. And if you receive me, you receive him who sent me." After saying this, and while they were still lying down and eating, Jesus was deeply troubled. "I tell you the truth," he declared, "one of you is going to betray me, one who is eating with me. The Son of Man is going away, as it is decreed and written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. Look, the hand of him who is betraying me is with me on the table." The disciples started to look at one another, wondering whom he meant. Feeling deeply hurt, they started to discuss with one another which of them was going to do this. And they asked him, one after another, "You don't mean me, Lord?" "One of the 12," he answered them. "One who is dipping into the bowl with me will betray me." One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining next to Jesus. Simon Peter mentioned to him to ask who he meant. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" "I'll dip this piece of bread and give it to him," Jesus answered. "He's the one." Then he dipped it and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon from Kirioth. "You don't mean me, Master?" asked Judas, who was going to betray him. "I do," he told him. After Judas took the piece of bread, the devil went into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are doing, do quickly." What he meant by telling him this, nobody at the table knew. Some thought, since Judas had the money box, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. Right after taking the piece of bread, Judas went outside, and it was night. Now we sing verses 1 through 3 of hymn 761.
When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and in him God is glorified. God will also glorify him in himself. Yes, he will glorify him now." While they were eating, the Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup when the supper was over and gave thanks. He gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you." And they all drank of it. He told them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all to forgive their sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Surely I tell you, I will not drink again of the product of the vine till that day when I drink it with you in a new way in the kingdom of God my Father." Let's join now in the responsive prayer. You may stand. Lord Jesus, who calls to you all who are weary and burdened to refresh them and to give rest to their souls, we pray.
As we come as guests to your Holy Supper, let us experience your love at the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for your children on earth.
Keep us from impenitence and unbelief. Take off from us the spotted garment of the flesh and of our own righteousness.
Adorn us with the garment of righteousness, which you purchased with your blood.
Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope.
After this life, grant us a place at your heavenly table,
where we will eat of the eternal manna. Hear us for your own sake. Amen. We be seated as we sing the next hymn, 622, stanzas 1 and 4 through 6. 622. Our communicants may now come forward as the usher directs. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Savior Jesus, which he shed on Calvary's cross for the remission of your sins. And may this true body and true blood of our Savior Jesus strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Go in peace.
We continue with lesson 4. Comfort from the Christ, the new commandment. Then Jesus told them, "Children, I am with you just a little longer. You will look for me, but as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you can't come. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. By your loving one another, everyone will know you're my disciples." Jesus predicts Peter's denial. "Lord, where are you going?" Simon Peter asked him. "Where I am going, you can't follow me," Jesus answered him. "But you will follow me later." "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" Peter asked. "I will give my life for you." "You will give your life for me?" Jesus asked. "Tonight, you will all turn against me. It is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Even if they all turn against you," Peter answered, "I will never turn against you." "Simon, Simon," said the Lord, "you know the devil has begged to have all of you, to sift you like wheat. But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith will not die. And when you come back, strengthen your fellow disciples." "Lord," he told them, "I am ready to go to prison and to die with you." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, Peter. The rooster will not crow tonight till you deny three times that you know me." But he kept insisting all the more, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you." All the other disciples said the same thing. Jesus begins his farewell address. Then he asked them, when I sent you out without purse, bag, or shoes, you didn't lack anything, did you?" "Not a thing," they answered. "But now," he told them, "if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. It is written, he will be counted among criminals. And I tell you, whatever is written about me must happen." "Lord, look, here are two swords," they said. "Enough of that," he told them. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you home with me, so that you will be where I am. You know the way to this place where I'm going." "Lord, we don't know where you're going," Thomas said to him. "So how can we know the way?" "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus answered. "No one comes to the Father except by me. If you have learned to know me, you will know my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. That's enough for us." "I've been with all of you so long," Jesus answered, "and you don't know me, Philip. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe I am the Father and the Father is in me? What I tell you doesn't come from me, but the Father who lives in me is doing his works. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else, believe me on account of my works. I tell you the truth. If you believe in me, you'll do the works I'm doing, and you'll do greater works than these, because I am doing to the Father, and I will do anything you ask in my name, in order that the Son may glorify the Father. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll do what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see or know him. You know him because he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming back to you only a little while on that day. Only a little while, and the world won't see me anymore. But you will see me because I live with you. You too will live. On that day, you will know I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. If you have my commandments and obey them, you love me. And if you love me, my Father will love you, and I will love you and show myself to you. Judas, not the same man from Kirioth, asked him, Lord, what has happened that you're going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if you love me, you'll do what I say, and my Father will love you, and we will come to you and live with you. Anyone who doesn't love me doesn't do what I say, and you are hearing not what I say, but what the Father says who sent me. I told you this while I'm still with you. I told you this while I'm still with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything I told you. I leave peace with you. I give you my peace. I don't give it to you as the world gives it. Don't feel troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I'm going away, but I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'd be glad I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I've told you this now before it happens, so that when it happens, you believe. I won't say much to you anymore, because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I want the world to know I love the Father and am doing just what the Father commanded me to do. We continue with hymn 722, verses 1 through 2.
Jesus continues his farewell address. Then Jesus said, I am the real vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. He cuts away any branch of mine that bears no fruit, and he trims any branch that bears fruit to make it bear more fruit. What I have said to you has already made you clean. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't bear any fruit by itself if it doesn't remain in the vine. Neither can you if you don't remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you bear much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If anyone doesn't remain in me, he's thrown away like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and what I say remains in you, ask for anything you want, and it will be done for you. You glorify my Father when you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has a greater love than he who gives his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. I don't call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, because I've told you everything I heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that doesn't pass away, and to have the Father give you anything you ask him in my name. This is what I command you to do. Love one another. If the world hates you, you know it hated me first. If you belonged to the world would love you as its own. But you don't belong to the world. I took you away from the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A slave is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Now they will do all this to you on account of me, because they don't know him who sent me. If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they wouldn't be sinning. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me hates my Father. If I hadn't done among them the works no one else did, they wouldn't be sinning. But now they have seen and hated me and my Father. What is written in the Bible has to come true. They hated me without any reason. When the Comforter comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he'll tell you the truth about me, and you too tell the truth, for you have been with me from the beginning. You will be put out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming when anyone who murders you will think he's serving God. Men will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. But I told you this so that when it happens, you'll remember I told you about it. I didn't tell you this at first, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I told you this, you feel very sad. But I tell you the truth, it's good for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. He will come and convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you won't see me anymore. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
I have much more to tell you, but it would be too much for you now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into the whole truth. What he will say will not come from himself, but he will speak what he hears and tell you what is coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and tell it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said, he takes from what is mine and will tell it to you. A little while longer, and you will not see me anymore. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples asked one another, what does he mean when he tells us, just a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? And am I going to my Father? So they were asking, what does he mean when he says, a little while? We don't know what he means. Jesus knew they wanted to ask him something. He asked them, are you trying to find out from one another what I meant by saying, a little while, you will not see me, and again, a little while, you will see me? I tell you the truth. You will cry and mourn, but the world will be glad. You will have sorrow, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is going to have a child, she has pains because her time has come. But after the child is born, she's so happy a child is brought into the world, she doesn't remember her pains anymore. You too are sad now, but I'll see you again, and then you'll be glad, and nobody will take your joy away from you. Then you won't ask me any questions. I tell you the truth. If you ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. So far you haven't asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and be very happy. I used veiled speech in telling you these things. The time is coming when I won't use veiled speech anymore in talking to you, but I'll tell you about the Father in plain words. Then you will ask in my name. I don't tell you I'll ask the Father for you. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and in believing that I came from the Father. I left the Father and came into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you're talking in plain words and using no veiled speech. Now we know you know everything and don't need to have anyone ask you anything. That's why we believe that you've come from God. Now you believe, Jesus answered them. The hour is coming, in fact, it is here now, when you'll be scattered, everyone to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I told you this so you will have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but have courage. I have conquered the world. Now sing hymn 528, verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Glories of my God.
Share now lesson number 5, Jesus prays for his disciples then and now. After saying this, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son will glorify you, since you have given him power over all men to give everlasting life to all whom you gave him. This is everlasting life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I have glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world began. I made your name known to the people you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you gave me comes from you, because I have given them the message you gave me. And they have accepted it and learned the truth that I came from you and have believed you sent me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but for those you gave me, because they are yours. All that is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name you gave me, so that they will be one as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them safe by that name which you gave me. I watched over them, and none of them was lost, except that lost one, what the Bible says had to come true. But now I am coming to you, and I say this while I am in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I gave them your word, but the world has hated them because they don't belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They don't belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. In this holy way, I give myself for them to make them holy too by the truth. I'm not praying for them only, but also for those who through their word believe in me, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, let them be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. I gave them the glory you gave me to make them one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me to make them perfectly one that the world may know you sent me and love them as you love me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me where I am and to see my glory that you gave me because you loved me before the world was made. Righteous Father, the world didn't know you, but I know you, and these have learned to know you sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known so that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove called Gethsemane, and he and his disciples went into it. So we sing in closing this evening the first stanza of hymn 436.